League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, you know how Black Friday sales are the best savings of the year? Well, what if we told you Wayfair's bringing Black Friday to July? That's right. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is Black Friday in July. And it's on its way. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, way more doorbuster deals on top products and 24-hour surprise flash deals. Oh, and did we mention free shipping on everything? Everything. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer and the best time to make your home even more you. But it only lasts 5 days, so don't miss out. Mark your calendars, then head to Wayfair for up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the summer. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale, July 24th through 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
This is Sports Rage. Man, the Rangers rolled tonight. Man, they're playing good hockey. Playoff hockey. We've talked about it. I am Gabe Morenci, SiriusXM Channel 159. But the Tampa Bay Lightning are 17-0 off a loss. Babano with us with the Ranger Reddit, Cam Stewart. And Babano with a very bold prediction earlier, which you remember was the best camera. He said, I'll tell you what, if the Rangers win the next game, they're winning the series. And you're like,
I loved it.
Well, they'd be up 2-0.
I love it.
Hey,
I agree.
Doesn't necessarily, I mean, I like the MSG chat, the crowd tonight. Igor's better.
Better. Igor's better. I love it. Yes. I love their goal song, too. It's like every time I hear it, Gabe, I think about how lame the Leafs is, like with Hall & Oates. Like it makes me, it just angers me even more. Like we got to change everything.
I told you it was lame, the Hall & Oates.
I knew it was lame. Everyone knows it's lame. It's just now we've been proving it. Like what you're doing doesn't work. So lose the lameness and everything. Let's start fresh. More metal, more fun, more attitude. Let's go.
What about Maxine Nightingale? Get right back where we started from after they win.
I know. They got the worst tunes in that arena. It's almost embarrassing as an adult. It's for the kids.
Remember the Montreal Canadiens when they scored. I could live with it, but like to, you know, at least it was you too. But they would score and it would kick in. It's a beautiful day. Boom, 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 boom. It's a beautiful day.
They score.
That's not bad though, actually. Like I'd say, you know what? It's not the heaviest, but I'll give you credit for it. It's not bad. It's a beautiful day, like after you score. I think they used to play Coldplay too, but
Coldplay's not meant for hockey. Wrong band.
But but that's another story. So, hey, we had Darius Butler on today, and we were talking, for the Colts, longtime Colt, but we were talking F1 and stuff, and I asked him how he got into it, and like everybody, he said Netflix. So he caught a race on TV, but he started watching the Netflix series. And you know what's crazy? I love F1. I have Netflix, and I've never watched that show before. Like, I know I'd enjoy it, but I still have a lot of time. But I gotta check this stupid show out. Like, everyone's talking about it so much. I gotta check this this F1 stuff out, this show. But Cam actually has Netflix now. But Bano, I'm betting you do not have Netflix.
I have it. I have that. I've got a secret way to get Netflix.
Oh, you got a secret way. Oh,
keep it under your hat.
Yes.
A secret way.
So what you're saying is you're a criminal.
I have an
you're
app.
You're admitting to being a criminal.
I have an app. that gives me, you know, every network known to man, every sport, every game, and I've got Netflix and Disney Plus and all these streaming apps.
Wow, we have to talk after the show, Babano. Send me some information when you need some media.
No wonder. Yeah. No wonder Netflix stock is down like 38%.
Yeah, Babano's a pirate. Yar.
Never know what to expect on this show. See, that's okay, though. That was only on Sirius, Babano. We're not on the affiliates yet. That's okay.
Yeah.
All right, level two, this is Sports Rage. I am Renzi, the pimps, the pipes, the hustlers, the people, the bust them, and everybody else in between. We're kicking it. The Rage are at Cam Stewart with us. We got Ian Cameron. Dan from Valley's going to step up in it from the Bleacher Report. We got Pete Annapolis. We're going to get to the NBA Finals. Cam, just hang around for a couple more minutes. How excited are you, Cam, about your picks? I'm not talking about, oh, yeah, the Memorial's great. It is a good field, but we talk about it. It is comparable to Augusta, guys. So people, that's why I like Kadecki and Corey Connors here, because people that play well at the Masters, you can play well here at the Memorial, and that's why I like Corey Connors. But, you know, are you locked in? Because you've been pretty hot with the golf picks recently, Cam. Yeah. What's your confidence level this week?
It's pretty high. And just remember one thing. Xander Shifley was one bad shot away on the par 3 16th. He could have won the Masters, too. He always plays well here. That's why I like him as chalk. Here's the deal. John Rahm's going to be hard to beat, especially since they basically gifted the tournament to Patrick Cantlay. Remember, Gabe? He was leading by 6 strokes, and he had COVID, and Patrick Cantlay ended up winning the tournament. Rahm's going to be angry. The thing is, you don't want to take him at like 10-1 or whatever the hell he is. If he's anything over like 13-15, you're probably going to hit the live button. But I feel good about the picks this week. I like them a lot. I think we're going to be close.
Big day tomorrow. We have the NBA Finals. NBA Finals and the Western Conference Finals in the National Hockey League. And of course, that was a crazy entertaining game. NBA Finals tips off at 9 o'clock. Hockey game tomorrow at 8 o'clock. What's your overnight opinion right now, Cam? As it stands right now, the Golden State Warriors are 4-point favorites over the Boston Celtics.
I'm not sure about game one. I think the series goes deep. I think Boston, they're also a really good road team. We'll see, Gabe, how it plays out tomorrow. But I will tell you this, I'm already locked and loaded. I think the Edmonton Oilers come out and they can beat Colorado tomorrow night. I really believe it. I think the books know it too. They're not laying that minus $2 stuff anymore. I think Edmonton was a better team.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It is interesting. Me and Babano, we're going to get into this. It is interesting, guys, that Colorado won last night, and then by 2 goals at that, yet they're smaller favorites now in game 2 than they were in game 1. Leads you all you need to know that the odds makers think the Oilers are live. The Rage at Redhead, Cam Stewart. Always good, Cam.
Yep, see you tomorrow, buddy. Have a good one.
Babano joins us, kicks it, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio, man. This show really is flying by here this evening. Always fun with the Rage Reddit, Cam Stewart, Ian Cameron kicking with us right now. We're going to have Dan from Valley from the Bleacher Report, Pete Annapolis. We'll get serious. We'll get into the NBA Finals. We'll do it with Babano as well. But let's stick with the pucks now, and then we'll get into the NBA Finals of Babano. So Rangers tonight, there was a lot of debate as far as the rust and the rest and the momentum and all that. And we saw, well, ultimately, the Rangers scored first, but then Tampa responded right away. And then the Rangers dialed it up a notch. What do you make of this right now? And are you buying in? Are you going to ride this? Listen, I know you've ridden the Boston Celtics off a loss all the time. You don't like getting in front of these trends. They are 17-0 off a loss. What's your opinion right now on where this is going?
Yeah, for in the past so far in these playoffs, Gabe, with Tampa Bay off a loss, it hasn't even been any hesitation. It hasn't been any wondering or pondering or thinking about it. It's been, we're taking Tampa, you know, after every playoff loss that they've had to this point. This is a little bit different, just because the Rangers really have an incredible momentum going. And it really started game three and game four against Carolina. Game five they lost, but they bounced back and they won 6 and 7. And then, of course, they took it to Tampa Bay tonight. Now, did the 9 days off for Tampa Bay impact them negatively? Yes. I think that's fair to assume, especially early when you see them make just egregious defensive mistakes that you just don't normally see them make. That being said, as Cam alluded to, the New York Rangers have something going right now. And what they have going is everyone through their lineup contributing. You know, Mika Zibanejad and Chris Kreider are playing all world right now. Panarin started to get going tonight. Look out for that. He's actually been the one guy that's been maybe a little step behind in these playoffs. Andrew Kopp, Frank Petrano have been great. Philip Hedel with, you know, 5 goals in the last 3 games. Lafreniere and Kako, they're getting better. The defense led by Adam Fox, outstanding. Ryan Lindgren, tough as nails, takes a hit, comes back into the game. They're all collectively playing great. And, of course, the anchor, Igor Shesterkin, who outplayed Andrei Vasilevsky tonight. That's some serious momentum, Morenci, that the Rangers have. And it's not easy to step in front of it. So I want to take Tampa. I want to buy into that angle because I've been riding it all along. But this is, for me, a more difficult decision to pull the trigger this time around.
Well, Tampa are -120 favorites. I'm up. You know, listen, I've been riding the Rangers. Cam didn't even like the Rangers before. He just bought in after he lost with the Canes. Right? So, but he did hit tonight with them. But I don't like going against the Rangers because I bought in. I predicted the Rangers against the Leafs in the conference finals. So I got one of them right. But I thought the Rangers were going to get here, and I thought the Leafs would get here as well. And I think they would have if they would have gotten through Tampa, but should have, could have, would have, didn't. But with that being stated, Babano, I get it. Everything you said about the Rangers, this, and the, you know what I mean? I don't really believe momentum so much, but it's not so much a momentum with them. It's just they're so consistent, Babano. You know what I mean? Like, the one thing with the Rangers, they just play hard every shift. They just do the little things. So it's like outplay your opponent on every shift. They take the body. They're physical. And they take advantage of your mistakes, too. They've got an offensive touch that people don't give them credit for. That was a beautiful goal opening up the game tonight, was Zibanejad to Kreider. But with that being stated, we've heard this before, Babano, over the years with the Lightning. They lose a game, and people bury these guys, bro, right? People bury them against the Leafs, right? And they always find a way. I have to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm taking the Lightning. I'm not getting in front of the 17-0.
Yes, for me, this is do I bet Tampa Bay or do I pass from a side perspective? That's the decision for me. This is not a, yeah, I'm going to consider the Rangers.
Yeah.
This is just, am I going to actually take Tampa yet again, which I've done all playoffs so far off a loss. And you're right, Toronto, we saw it. Game one was abysmal for Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Game one of that series against the Leafs. And it was a completely different Tampa Bay the next game. Did Tampa Bay have a power play tonight? I don't think so. Not that I can recall. I'm just thinking back. Did we see Tampa Bay on the power play tonight?
One?
I don't think we did.
Maybe once. I got to be honest, Babano, I started to tune out a bit when it was 5-2. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had it on, but I wasn't staring. I was watching a Dodger game more closely, to be honest, at that point.
I don't think they had a power play tonight, Tampa Bay. And you know what that is? That exemplifies the whole night. They were step slow. Rangers were winning puck battles all over the ice. Rangers were taking the play to Tampa, hemming them in their own zone. You can't draw penalties, you know, when you don't have the puck enough. And Tampa Bay really didn't, especially in the last two periods. In game two, off a loss like this, now you expect Cooper to make the adjustments. You expect Stamkos, Kucherov, you know, all the players that were kind of quiet tonight. Although Stamkos did score, but, you know, everybody collectively step up, be better, and you'd expect them to be more aggressive, you know, more assertive. Maybe they draw the penalties instead of take them. And we definitely saw the turnaround from Tampa game one to game two against Toronto. So, yeah, I don't want the Rangers. I'm just wondering, do I take Tampa? I probably will end up taking Tampa Bay when it's all said and done.
You know, they were on the power play. The Rangers had three in the end. Power play opportunities, 3-2 Tampa. Power play goals, 1 Rangers, 0 Tampa. Usually Tampa are great, too, on the power play. But, yeah, like I said, I don't want to make too much of it. But credit to Cam, too. He was all over Vetrano before the game. He was like, Frank Vetrano, you got to get in on this guy. He had 2 points. I'm not going to overreact and panic. We've seen this before from the Lightning. But the Rangers really are playing fun hockey right now. And it's, you know, I said this earlier, though, so... it's a tough place to play MSG, right? We've seen it, man. We saw it with the Hurricanes. And the thing is, Babano, the Rangers are good on the road. And another thing is, too, one thing with the Rangers, sort of like the Celtics, Babano. Remember like in Miami, bro, it wasn't like a Heat game. It was like, let's go Celtics chants and stuff. They were chanting not enough goodbye to the fans, like in there.
Yep.
New Yorkers are everywhere, right? There's New Yorkers
down
live
in
everywhere.
Carolina, there was a lot of blue.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of
you saw
blue.
It, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were chanting. They took the building over. And, dude, where do New Yorkers move, Babano? Florida, right? Like, there's going to be Ranger fans at Tampa, man. Right, like, and we've seen the Rangers are able to win on the road. They've shown an ability to win on the road, this team. You know, they won in tough circumstances. Can they steal one in Tampa? Yeah. I'm not writing the Rangers off at all. I'm really not. I thought they were a dangerous team. But as I stated, I've got to ride the 17-0 with the pedigree of a 2-time Stanley Cup champion that not going to panic. And I almost like Babano that they were humiliated tonight. You know what I mean? As opposed to losing in overtime or something. Because, you know, Cooper, you and I talked about it. Cooper's not going to be happy with this. They're going to be a lot tighter and a lot better in game 2.
Yes. It might even be better if Tampa Bay first period, because I think they jumped on Toronto in that. No, they won nothing, actually. They didn't jump on Toronto, but they were up 1-0 after the first period in game 2, after that debacle in game 1. So the first period might be something to consider as well, because you'd think that first 20 minutes, Tampa Bay's jumping.
All right, so new series price. Rain, we talked about this last night with McInnes, and I'm kind of an idiot for not just betting the Rangers because we didn't do what we said last night. We said the Rangers would probably win the first game. I thought the momentum meant more. I got caught up in the props tonight and goals, this and that and whatever. But we said then you buy in Tampa after. So, Babano, Tampa were minus 190 on the series price before tonight. Now they're plus 100. The Rangers are minus 125. Tampa Bay plus 100 to win the series right now. What do you think of the series price?
There's definitely value to Tampa now. There definitely is. For a team that hasn't lost 2 in a row in the playoffs since the beginning of the 2020 postseason, which was 3 postseasons ago. You know, we're talking about a team that just doesn't lose consecutive games, and now you're seeing them plus 100, and you're seeing them plus 100 to win the series when they lost the first game to Toronto and still won that series.
Even so, money. They've won 10 consecutive series. 10 in a row. they're down a game. They didn't become 2-time champions by panicking because they lost the game.
I'm going to bet that because I took Tampa game 1 in series. That's lost. I've got Rangers futures pending. It's another hedge opportunity for me, so I'm going to probably jump on that.
All right. Yeah, I can't disagree.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Take, listen, you're going from 90 cents right now to plus 100. Nice even money right there. And I don't even have a problem with Edmonton. Edmonton probably going to lose the series, but this series isn't done either. Edmonton are live tomorrow, I believe. We'll get Babano's take. We'll also get to the NBA Finals with Ian Cameron. Babano next. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the bullpen there.
Hello.
Hi. Derek, this indoor soccer is a new sport. Could you tell us something about it?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. It's soccer played indoors, like in a hockey rink. Sort of soccer hockey.
Boy, that's an interesting combination. What are the rules?
I don't know, really. I don't care.
I see. How does your team look?
Mostly Venezuelan.
Right.
late night anger management class, Sparky's bullpen. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Sirius XM Channel 159 on Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates. Most power play goals in a single postseason history in Rangers history. Adam Graves, 1996, 6. Zibanejad, 2022, 5. Alexei Kovalev, 1994, 5. So in other words, Zibanejad, man, this guy's on fire. We talk about it. Big players make big plays in big games, and that's why the Rangers are where they are. They're getting great goaltending, and their star players are stepping up. Let's get into Babano for the NBA Finals, because we just got Babano for another segment, and Dan Favalli from the Bleacher Report to the Johns will really get heavy into the NBA Finals. But what do you make of Game 2, Babano, in the Western Conference here? New updated series price, Colorado Avalanche, minus 440, Edmonton Oilers, plus 350. And just for the record right now, I think the Oilers are not a bad play here. It's the Edmonton Oilers plus 2.5 games, minus 142. I like the way they played last night, even though they lost. And I brought this up earlier, Babano. I find it interesting. They're actually smaller dogs tomorrow than they were in Game 1, even though they lost the game, which shows you that the odds makers believe that the Oilers are a dangerous dog in this game. What's your take on Game 2 in the series?
Yeah, I don't mind that. Look, Edmonton plus 2.5 games. I believe Andrew liked that, to be quite honest with you. But, yeah, there's definitely things that make sense when it comes to
that. He liked it before the series started. He liked it before the series started at 2.5, but didn't like the price, right? He said the same thing. Like, basically, now it's a good time. We can get in on this now at 142.
After Game 1. Yeah, exactly. He said after Game 1, if Colorado won, he'd be interested in jumping on that at the minus 140 that it is right now. I like Edmonton money line in Game 2. I think they do bounce back. I think this is a zigzag series. I think they both could be. You know, I think Rangers-Lightning could end up being that kind of series, back and forth, where the strategy of betting the losing team from the previous game and the next game is going to work out pretty well for you. And
I can see them splitting at both places. Yeah, I can see them splitting here and then going in Colorado, splitting at Edmonton and being tied at two. I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Edmonton split with L.A. in the first two games in the first round. They split with Calgary in the first two games in the second round. And look at Colorado. They lost Game 2 at home to St. Louis. In the second round after winning Game 1. So it's very possible. And this idea that we have to bench Mike Smith after Game 1 is just totally absurd. It's been the biggest bunch of garbage I'll ever see on Twitter, that people are saying Mike Smith should sit down and it's Mikko Koskinen time. This guy is third in the Stanley Cup playoffs in goals saved above average, the advanced stat that measures goaltenders' ability to stop high-danger chances. He's third. Mike Smith. In the NHL playoffs behind Vasilevsky and Shesterkin.
He wasn't even bad last night, really. It wasn't his fault.
No,
like, it was just one of those.
Was a sieve.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. You're not going to Koskinen now. Let's be real, right? You're not doing that. I understand. Listen, Smith will be – they'll be watching him, and if he gives up, you know, a couple of bad goals early, there might be a quicker hook this time, but you're right. They got this far. Like you said, man, that's why I sort of like with the Tampa stuff. I don't like to overreact after one game in a series or even two games sometimes. Look at – like you said, bro, look at Edmonton against Calgary. Mike Smith got lit up. They lost 9-6. They won the series. They won four of the next five games after that.
Yeah, I think it's a situation here where Mike Smith's going to bounce back. I trust Mike Smith to play good in Game 2 tomorrow. And I think Edmonton will be better in front of him. Don't underestimate this coach either, Jay Woodcroft. Do you know how many times we've seen him period to period, game to game, adjust, change his lines, change his defensive pairs?
Yeah.
And really get a good result out of it. And things worked. Not only did he make the changes paid off. They were for the better, and the team played better as a result of the creative coaching that we saw from Jay Woodcroft. So don't put it past him to really give Colorado maybe a little bit of a different look tomorrow night. I think they are a live road underdog in Game 2 tomorrow night. As far as the total goes, look, I think it's going to be a little bit more tighter. I think both teams are really going to focus defensively on being better, but there's just so much skill, so much speed on the ice at all times. And Colorado's defense are as fast skating, and their ability to jump into the play on every shift is really, really something to behold. So I do think it won't be as wide open and, you know, track meet and fire wagon pond hockey like it was in game one.
Still hard to take the under.
I'm still not rushing to bet the under. Exactly.
Hey, listen, I'm not calling Connor McDavid out, but he's going to need to be better, right? It's just one of those deals where it's like, listen, you're going to have to get like a hat trick type thing. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to have to raise it up a notch even more. Like, you notice there was a lot of the Edmonton role players stepped up. And like I said, I'm not calling McDavid out. It's early in the series and all this, and he was good. Yeah, I won my prop with him over 1.5 points. But I'm just saying, in this setting, they're going to need their best guys. Like, look at Kane right away. He's keeping it going. This guy's got 13 goals in 13 games. Right, dude, they scored 3 goals at will when they were down the battle. Like, they're right there. And I don't know how you felt about it, but, like, we could talk about the rule this and the rule that, but, dude, it went from 2-2 going into the room to 3-2 and then to 4-2 after. And like I've been saying all day, their intermission was ruined, Babano. So instead of being all hyped up and, hey, we're tied at 2, all right, we're right in this thing, this is perfect, and let's prepare for the next period. Like you said, Woodcroft was losing it. He was, like, snapping after the period. The ref skated away from him. The Oilers were rattled. And then Colorado scored right coming out of the period there. So it's 4-2, and Edmonton's got to play uphill hockey all night. And then they actually did score 3 goals at will. And I tell you, friends, those made a lot of nice saves, man. I'll give them credit. But we got to get to the NBA Finals as well. But, yeah, Babano, I'm with you. I don't know, we're not getting 14 goals here, but, man, it's hard to bet the under. Like, you just feel like such an idiot if you're like, oh, yeah, I'm taking the under, and there it's like 3-3 after the first period. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's the thing. It could be tighter, and it could still be a 4-3, 5-3 hockey game or 5-4. Yeah. And it's not like 8-6, but you still get 5-4, and it still goes over.
Like you
said,
man.
So.
Yeah, it could be, like you said, it could be more responsible, and it's 3-3 in the third period, and it ends up 6-3 with the empty netters or whatever, 5-3 or whatever. Like, you know, that's tough, man. They made 7.5 now.
And they're both great on the power play. Both of the power plays are just on fire right now. And I know, no disrespect to Colorado's penalty kill or Edmonton's penalty kill, but these two teams are playing at some absurdly high level right now with the man advantage. The puck movement, the players don't stay in one position. They're moving around. They're moving that puck so quickly. They're opening up seams. They're making the goalie move laterally in the crease, left to right, post to post. And as a result, the success has been off the charts for both power plays. So if you see this as a penalty-filled game, and the whistles are, you know, being called early and often, and they're calling penalties, then maybe you look at a live over, because I don't know how these two power plays are going to be stopped with the way they're executing at such a high level right now.
What do you think of the NBA Finals?
I like Boston in the series, but I like Golden State in game one, and you think that's kind of
interesting.
Weird. But I'm not going to – Steve Kerr, what is he, 21-2 in game ones in the playoffs in his career? That's unbelievable. That's straight up, by the way. And we're in a price range here where, you know, Golden State's laying 4. You know, if they cover, if they win the game, they're probably going to cover the points.
Last six games, Babano, last six game one NBA Finals, the favorite has won by an average of 14 points in game one.
Yeah. Yeah, and Boston's coming off the 7 games with Miami. Let's not forget that either. And Golden State, you know, I think it's just a situation for them. They can pounce on Boston a little. Boston's not been
so
great.
So you can get good money, Babano, on that. You'll get a nice price here. I'll get what FanDuel is right now. So Golden State to win game one, Boston to win the series. That's going to be a nice little payday, Babano, right there, if you attack it like that.
That is how I'm attacking it. That is. I actually like that. And props to FanDuel, because I've been betting those Game 1 series combos. They're not available everywhere.
Yeah.
FanDuel's got them for every series, NHL, NBA, and they're good bets. I look at them, and I think they're worthwhile.
Okay, here it is.
That one makes sense to me.
All right, so Golden State, plus 400, Babano. So Golden State Warriors win Game 1. Boston Celtics win the series, plus 400, Babano. Nice odds. I can't argue with that. I like Golden State personally, but I don't mind that bet, bro. You know what I mean? A plus 400. Because like you said, I like where you're going with this. You don't overreact after one game of a 7-game series, and you're getting paid for it by not overreacting.
That's right. And the thought is, Golden State win game one, Boston's got a damn good chance to win game two just because of the crazy record off a loss. It's just insane now. The Tampa Bay Lightning is
now 6-0 now. I think they're 6-0 yeah, off
incredible.
A loss now. Yeah, yeah.
Off a loss. And I think if it goes to Game 7, which it very well could, it could be one of those back-and-forth series. They could win a Game 7 in Golden State because they've shown the ability to do that. They did it in Miami. They can do it here. That's why I think they can win this series even if they lose Game 1. But I really do like the Warriors in Game 1. I think it does set up for them well. They've always played well in Game 1s, especially at Oracle, old Oracle, new Oracle in San Francisco. They've carried over that track record of really coming out strong Game 1 on their home floor. I think they'll win and cover Game 1 on Thursday night, the Warriors.
Most of the, you know what, it's interesting. Most, all week we've had pro-Warrior guests and people. Everyone we've talked to, yeah, I like the Warriors. I like the Warriors. But you're not the only one. We're getting some Boston buyback now, Babano, right? Some people are starting to, you know, there's people that do like Boston. All right, great, great stuff as always, Babano. Thanks for joining us. Get some rest. I know you've been banging it all day. Have a beer or a bowl of soup or whatever it is you do to unwind now. Thank you for joining us.
All right, awesome, Gabe. Have a good night.
Follow Babano on Twitter at Babano. A beer, maybe a beer and a bowl of soup. Or maybe both. Maybe beer soup. Danford Valley, next.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage, SiriusXM channel 159, Sports Grid Radio Networks, the mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. Countdown to tip-off continues. Let's bring in Danford Valley from the Bleacher Report. Talk NBA Finals. And one of the reasons why the Boston Celtics are in the NBA Finals, they became the first team since the 1999 Knicks to win two or more road games in every series. My first question to Danford Valley is, can the Boston Celtics continue their road success and get a win or maybe two in the Bay Area against the Warriors, Dan?
I think they're capable of it, but if they're going to do it, you're probably seeing a situation where it would happen after Game 1. It just feels like a confluence of circumstances that will wind up with Boston sort of losing that matchup as they get a feel for the series. They've had less time off than Golden State. Golden State's been in the finals before, and then just given how dominant, like you said, the Warriors have been at Chase Center all postseason, it does feel like it's set up for the Celtics to lose Game 1, perhaps in a blowout fashion that has people second-guessing this matchup altogether. I do ultimately think, though, that the Celtics are capable, especially defensively, of stealing one or two games on the road.
One thing that we've seen with the Boston Celtics throughout the playoffs, they always bounce back off of a loss. They are an incredibly resilient basketball team. Listen, they're 8-1 against the spread on the road, guys. The Golden State Warriors, 9-0 straight up at home, 7-2 ATS. And Dan, there's been so much talk about the Boston Celtics defense, and rightfully so. I mean, they've just caused havoc. They've created so many turnovers, but they've also played offensively challenged teams. And I'm not taking anything away from the Celtics, but I'm just calling it out like it is. Look, Jimmy Butler nearly single-handedly took them down. He came within a shot of taking a lead with about 15 seconds left in that game. Giannis was essentially one guy without Chris Middleton. I know Holiday was there, but he's not really an offensive force. And Boston, you know, went 7 there. I'm just, you know, I'm intrigued and I'm fascinated, and I'm not like saying they can't do it because I know they played great defense, you know, during, you know, the last couple of months. Boston, one of the best teams in the NBA. But with that being stated, Golden State moves so well without the ball. There's just so many different guys to cover that they haven't had the same type of challenge they're going to face.
Yeah, for sure. And I think what's going to be really important for them is, one, if you want to play with dual bigs, you're going to hope that Robert Williams III is moving better than he did in Game 7, even if you're only using him as a helper from the corner. And then I think you're going to have to get to a point where you're just going with one big lineups, and then Derek White's playing a lot of time just because his screen navigation in the last series particularly was really good. And so between him and Jaylen Brown and Smart and Tatum, those are going to be your best bets to attack everything Golden State does off the ball, specifically with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. How does that translate, though, to are you still going to be able to force turnovers and get out in transition for your offense? Because that is mission critical to how Boston operates as well. So even while they might have the defensive talent to get Golden State to work late into the shot clock, maybe miss some opportunities, the Warriors are great at getting back in transition, and all that energy you're expending on defense could wind up hampering you on the offensive end.
It's amazing to me that Jason Tatum isn't even 25 years old yet. It feels like he's older. He's accomplished everything except winning, and he's still very, very young in his career, but it is amazing. It feels like he's been around forever. It feels like him and Brown have been around forever, and the patience that the Boston Celtics showed in not breaking this core group up has actually paid off for them right now, and Steve Kerr was talking about how these teams are sort of built in similar ways. You know, the Golden State Warriors, also a homegrown basketball team, but one of the players that the Warriors brought in was Andrew Wiggins. And listen, people want to build a statue for Wiggins right now, and I do applaud him. He's played good basketball, Dan, but they're also paying him a lot of money. He's kind of doing his job right now, but he's doing it very well. And I'm impressed with the rebounding that he's been bringing to the table. Do you think that Wiggins can continue this strong play through the finals?
I do think he can, because I think that Golden State has done a really good job of streamlining his role. When you look at how little he's essentially responsible for on offense and then even on defense, yeah, he's making a lot better team reads, but they've also saddled him with a lot of one-on-one duty, where if that's going to be his primary focus is to slow down a Tatum or Jaylen Brown, even if they're making shots, so long as you're making it difficult on them, like he did with Luka Doncic a lot of the time last series, that's a huge win. And you mentioned the rebounding. It's been absolutely revelatory, and that just comes down to him. It seems like he's playing with more force and more consistently playing with that force. And so if he does those things, I think he's set up to play just as well as he had in past series. If you get to a situation where the Warriors are asking him to create more off the dribble because someone's in foul trouble or Jordan Poole and Klay Thompson don't have it going, that's where things get iffy. But the role that they have him playing overall, sort of just this 3-and-D wing effectively, he looks like he's built for it at the moment.
What kind of impact do you think that Looney has? And due to, you talked about Williams, Golden State generally prefer to go small, but they like to mix it up. They have more depth than they've had in past years. What about Kevon Looney coming into this series? What kind of impact do you think he has?
I think this is a series that's good for him because Boston likes to play with two bigs, and so you're not necessarily putting yourself at a disadvantage there. I do wonder how much of an advantage it is with him. Just does that offensive rebounding translate? Is he, he's not super big, and so is he dwarfed a little bit by an Al Horford and Robert Williams III when they're running with those lineups? And so I think he will still be incredibly important, but I could very easily see this becoming a series where Golden State's trying to take Boston out of its own comfort zone, and that they're going to go with whether it's putting in Jordan Poole or maybe Otto Porter Jr. and just running with a smaller front court. I could see that becoming a staple for them as this series goes on.
Like the Super Bowl, and we're in conversation with Dan Favalli from the Bleacher Report. Like the Super Bowl, Dan, there's a million props and different options that you can bet on. And a couple of the props I find interesting. Who's going to have the highest points per game average? Who's going to have the most assists per game average? Rebound. So I'll ask you this. Jason Tatum's the favorite over Steph Curry, which I guess makes sense, right? Golden State are just a little bit deeper offensively and are more dynamic with multiple scores getting to double digits, but season series highest points per game average, Jason Tatum's -110, Steph Curry's +130, and then you get Jaylen Brown, who's to me an offensive X factor in this series. But what do you make of these odds? Would you say, yeah, I think Jason Tatum will have a higher series points per game average than Curry will?
I think because Golden State's offense is more egalitarian, I understand why Jason Tatum's favored. But to get Steph at better than even money feels like it would be really good value there. He's been quietly fantastic during these playoffs. And, you know, maybe the Warriors get to a point where they're not using him as a decoy, but they're using the threat of the double teams he's going to draw from Boston to set up offense for everybody else. This is still someone who's going to find a way to score, and his three-pointers can come in just absolute blitzes. And so given his experience in the finals as well and just sort of the turbulence we've seen from both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown at points with their shot-making, for my money, I'd probably go the Steph Curry route there.
I love where you're going with that at plus 130. Listen, I like Curry. I like the Warriors to win the series. I think Curry wins the MVP. He's never won the MVP before, but he's averaged 26.5 points per game in his finals career. So it's not like he hasn't lit it up before. And at plus 130, I can't argue with where you're going there. The highest rebound one, I brought Looney up because I find it interesting because I don't know. You know, Golden State aren't locked into any rotation. So Looney's actually the favorite to have the most rebound per game average at plus 130. Al Horford's plus 185, and then Draymond checks in at plus 750. Tatum at 9-1. What do you think about the rebounding? Who do you think is going to own the glass in this series, Dan?
I honestly have no idea. I would definitely steer clear from on this.
I like the honesty. It is kind of random, this one. I know.
Right, and I think the lineup changeability with Golden State specifically, I don't know how many minutes Kevon Looney's going to play, and even Al Horford might be okay value, but he goes spurts, especially if they're going to play in some of those dual big lineups where he's not necessarily the primary rebounder. And so a sneaky dark horse just might be Draymond Green, because if he's going to play a lot of the de facto five for Golden State, that's a role that he will have to assume.
I thought the same thing about Draymond. I was surprised, and you're getting big odds with Draymond. Come on, man, at plus 750. Man, you know, you put a couple of bucks on that, and you know, you have yourself a bet there. But Draymond's favorite to have the most assist at plus 170. Marcus Smart is plus 220. I was looking at Smart here at plus 220. So Draymond's plus 170. Smart is plus 220. Curry's plus 250. Tatum's plus 650. But, you know, my gut tells me that Smart's probably going to have six, seven type assists a game. I think he's going to be a facilitator here. What's your opinion on the assist?
Yeah, I agree with you on Smart. It'd definitely be interesting to go with Tatum. He's improved by so much, as by leaps and bounds as a passer, really. And they like to put the ball in his hands.
He's been a trendy bet, Dan, in the playoffs. People have always liked him, the 4.5 assist type thing. But it doesn't mean he's going to have the most, right? But I hear what you're saying.
No, I think they're ultimately going to have to move him off the ball a little bit to probably maximize their offense and make Golden State's defenders work, and you just want to put Tatum in situations probably where he's already moving. And so I like the Smart bet there. I think Curry's probably slightly undervalued as well, but again, just because of how many doubles he is probably going to see, I get why he's so low there. So yeah, Marcus Smart seems like the correct bet there for assists.
Hey, whoa, you say doubles? Don't tell Kevin Durant that. that's a lie. That's not true. That's not true, but we talked about that last night. So if people don't get it, well, you don't get it. So listen, we got a couple of minutes left here. What's your prediction for the series? Who do you like to win the series?
I originally had Golden State in six, but I do have to give just a ton of credit to Boston's defense, and so I have Golden State in seven. I think there's just more depth for them on the offensive end, and they can play in a lot of different ways, and I think that's ultimately going to wear down Boston, who, as we saw in the last series with the Heat, there are real flaws to their half-court offense when they slow things down and can't get out in transition. And so this is a team that Golden State is probably uniquely built to also slow down more often than some of the other teams that Boston has already faced.
So, Dan, I also saw you tweeting about we're at that time of year right now. And I said last night the two things that upset me the most about the offseason is Kevin Durant being upset about something and the media trading all the Toronto Raptor players. And I'm a Raptor fan, so I see this every year. And, oh, boy, there's OG's name popping up right now. Now, listen, I'm not going to go out on the record and say, oh, there's no way in hell that OG doesn't get traded. I mean, they traded DeMar DeRozan, right? So,
right.
You know, Masai Jerry will do whatever he thinks can improve the basketball team, but I will say I don't buy in about this unhappiness stuff. And you know, Scotty Barnes had an IG post like sort of laughing with OG, sort of saying, "Oh, you unhappy?" A bunch of laughing, you know, smiley faces type thing. But like I said, I don't discount it, and I do believe that Gobert is a nice fit for the Toronto Raptors. But I'd rather give up Chris Boucher and something else. But is you think Rudy Gobert is done and Quinn Snyder's an end of an era in Utah right now?
I do think Quinn Snyder's done in Utah. Just the timing and the nature of the report that came out, this feels like something that's just on, you know, in the red zone of dissolution. As far as Rudy Gobert goes, if Quinn Snyder leaves, I do think it's more likely that Rudy Gobert gets traded to where. I don't know. Just 4 years and $170 million left on his contract, that's a lot of money. And while I don't even love the fit necessarily in Toronto, teams, even if they like him, are going to have to cobble together a ton of money and contracts to make that work. And if you're Toronto specifically, you're not giving up OG Anunoby and then other players like Gary Trent.
That's not a Masai Ujiri type of move, Dan, as you know. He's not going to do that.
No, I'd be, if he does that, I'd be floored, and I'd wonder if he's about to leave for Utah's front office at that point, because it would be a terrible
move. Well put. Hey, man, I don't know if you've seen the video. Scotty Barnes working on his jumper already. Does look smoother. Looks smoother already. This kid's going to be a beast, man, I'm telling you.
He is – I was so wrong around him at the draft, and I think that he – just looking at what he even did on offense as a rookie plus on what he did on defense, this is a player who has very easily a top-10 player in the league ceiling, if not a little bit higher than that, if we fast-forward, you know, 5 years.
Well, George Costanza, we're going to let you in on that high note for all the Raptor fans out there. Dan Favalli leaves the building on a high note. Dan, always a pleasure, man. Enjoy the finals.
Thank you so much for having me, as always. I'll talk to you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class, quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. Thanks to Dan Favalli from the Bleacher Report for joining us. We're not done. Pete Yiannopoulos will step up and in level three. We'll talk more NBA Finals. And, you know, I like getting as many different opinions and perspectives on this as we possibly can. And a lot of people, like I said, it seems like we're getting a lot of late Boston love right now on the show from the guests that we have on. We'll see what Pete Yiannopoulos has to say. And listen, Boston's defense is very, very good, right? Like they're committed to it. That's the whole thing in the NBA. Not a lot of teams actually commit to playing defense. They'll play sort of, you know, they'll play fake defense, or then they'll say, oh, now we're going to try a little harder into the playoffs on defense. But Boston are committed. I give a lot of credit to the coaching staff and the new culture that they have there. They are a tougher team. They were kind of soft in the past. No one ever really thought of them as being like, you know what I mean, sort of a tough team. Now they have an edge to them. They are very good defensively. But at the same point in time, right, like I think people are like hyping this up. But in my opinion, people are acting like the Golden State Warriors have never seen like a defense before. Like, it's going to be overwhelming, and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are going to be, and Draymond are going to be confused, and, oh, and they, you know, no, Boston's defense. Jimmy Butler averages 21.4 points per game. All right? The guy looked like Wilt Chamberlain against the Boston Celtics. Like, I keep hearing about this great defense. Jimmy Butler dropped 47 and 35 on you in game 6 and 7. He's one guy, and you had no one else to cover. Like, you had no one else to worry about. I might as well have been on the freaking floor, okay? Besides maybe a couple of dunks from Bam, right? Like, they, you know what I mean? What did Bam really give him? You know, he didn't have a good series. So, like, you know, what were they worried? Who were they worried about? Oh, wow, well, P.J. Tucker. Oh, the Celtics defense, amazing. Yeah, because P.J. Tucker's known for scoring 38 a game. I know. Well, you shut him down. Bring it.